Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Hey everybody, it's Rob Benedict.
And Richard Speight Jr.
And welcome to our very first Spotlight episode.
What episode are we talking about, buddy? Are we specifically talking about an episode of Supernatural?
No, we're simply spotlighting an actor or a crew member, a specific person or thing that had a big effect on the show. And we're putting the spotlight on them for a special interview, a special episode.
This sounds kind of like bonus material to me.
Maybe you call it bonus. I call it mainstream. It's not bonus. Anybody can listen to this.
No, but this is like extra stuff we're creating for the people.
Yes. If you want to say bonus, and it depends on your definition of bonus, but yes.
Well, I go with the dictionary definition. Sure.
I thought you were saying like it's a Patreon only. No, this is everybody.
No, God, no. This is for everyone.
Oh, God,
I'm not exclusive like you are.
Look, we're going to have opportunities to interview folks from the show outside the typical episode order, so we decided to launch this new format where we aren't covering a specific single episode. We're calling it Spotlight, and we'll have conversations with guests about their entire Supernatural experience. Now, these could be big pieces of talent, or producers, or even cover one topic, like Baby, or The Score, or All the Angels.
What about demons?
Or demons.
All right. Now, today's Spotlight, which, by the way, is our first ever Spotlight episode.
I think we said that, but yeah.
I'm saying it again, because it merits repeating.
No, it certainly does.
We're focusing our spotlight, we're honing that laser beam on Adrienne Palicki. She appeared in 5 episodes of Supernatural as Sam's girlfriend, Jessica Moore. But you know, she was more than just a girlfriend, Rob. She was a catalyst.
That's right.
Her character's death shoves Sam kicking and screaming into the world of hunting and reunites him with his brother in their pursuit of their father. So really, she's key to the whole story.
That's
and her performance is key because it's so good that you buy their relationship and your heart hurts as she is lit aflame on the ceiling of their apartment.
That's right. Since then, as an actor, she's been a part of big TV series such as Friday Night Lights, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and The Orville. She's had a big film career with movies like Legion, Red Dawn, and G.I. Joe Retaliation.
And John Wick. We can't forget John Wick. She's so good in John Wick.
And John Wick. The list goes on and on. We're so excited to have her with us today, Adrienne Palicki. Thank you so much for joining us. It's nice to finally meet you. And we're big fans of yours. And you're such a huge part of the show. Like, even when you're not on it, the lore of your character sort of lives on and people talk about it. And Rich and I are watching the show for the first time. So we're like,
what?
First time.
Experience it. Yeah, we never really watched the show. We're just kind of on it. So that's what this is all new to us. We're like, oh, wow.
Don't act like you've never done that too.
That's absolutely true. I've definitely done that.
Yeah. And and you start, like Rich always says too, like you go, oh, that's what that means. Or that's why people say that, you know, linking it all together. I was shocked when you died. I was like, I didn't know. That was crazy to me. It happened too soon.
Well, I mean, she is the reason pretty much Sam does what he does.
Right.
She's a catalyst. Bingo. You know, without that, there'd be no show.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, let's dive in officially to this whole thing. You, by the way, I want you to know this. We've been doing this podcast for 3 seasons now. This is the first like spotlight on an individual we've done. You are our first big important person.
Well, I feel really special. Thanks, come guys.
Yeah, you'll always be the first one. You'll always be the pioneer here. Out of the gate, you do the pilot, right? Like that's so you're going in and it's pilot season and you're busy out of your mind, but you go into this audition knowing it's right. A guest star in a pilot. Did that at any point, and this might be something that only actors understand about this process, but when actors are going through pilot season, they want to go get a show. They want to go get a pilot that has their character living, for example, and being a series regular or recurring character. This was sold to you, I assume, as just being a one episode deal, correct?
But also, you have to understand, I was like literally at that point, I had done a Smallville. You know, and I booked a pilot, Lost in Space, which is how I originally met Eric Kripke. And so, yeah, when I walked in the room, it's Eric Kripke and David Nutter. Like they called me in straight to producer session. And
wow.
And gotcha. So
it all happened very quickly.
Had you known Nutter before?
I never met Nutter. He's the nicest person ever. And look at that guy's career just, right. You know, exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It turns out he's done okay.
Right. You know, like those little shows he, you know, directs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most successful pilot director of all time, but whatever. So you go in there. So you're not deterred by the fact that it's a one-off. You're like, hey, Kripke already likes me from another show. I'm a young actress. This is a great opportunity to just do
totally.
Something.
And I do believe there was something in there that it could possibly be reoccurring, which she had come back in multiple episodes, but
right.
Yeah, it was just, I wanted a job.
Sure.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
I wanted to be a working actor, so it didn't matter to me. But I met some of my dearest friends. You know, Samantha Smith is one of my dear, dear friends.
Oh, awesome. We love Sam.
She's a wonderful human being.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you met her from the pilot? That's how you guys became buddies?
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
We
I had
both
no
die
idea.
The same way on a ceiling, but on fire.
Right. That's right. You do.
If that doesn't bond you together, I don't know what else would, you know?
I was going to ask when Friday Night Lights began.
We did the pilot in 2005.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
I know. That little show.
That little show. That's a busy time for you.
You've done a couple of tiny little things. Let me ask you this. When you go to do the Supernatural thing and it's a pilot and it's new and it's David Nutter and it's Jared and Jensen, how was it? What was the vibe? Like, were the guys cool? Were they like, gee, I hope it gets picked up? Like, you know, that sort of eager beaver energy that permeates a pilot. Totally. What was the whole thing
totally.
Like?
Jared was just like this little sweet kid, you know, little nerdy. And, you know, Jensen was Jensen. I've been a fan of his for a very long time. And, you know, I think everybody was a little nervous. We had such a blast. I was actually really upset the last day of shooting that I'm like, I know this is going to get picked up. And also, I'm not going to be on it. That sucks. Because
Yeah.
We had so much fun.
How long were you involved in the pilot? I mean, how long were you
shooting?
I mean,
I don't remember that. I would say.
But, like, was it a week? Was it a day? Like,
about
you know,
a week. Yeah, it was about a week.
That's a good chunk of time. That's good. In actor days, that's like a year and a half.
Exactly. Like 2 years.
And the bonding.
Yeah.
Did you know that you and Eric Kripke are from the same town,
yes.
Toledo, Ohio?
Yes. In fact, his sister used to work at my favorite restaurant there, Rumors.
No way.
Yeah, we had a lot in common. It was very weird. I didn't know that until he jumped on the Lost in Space pilot and we were talking. And he's like, fellow Toledoan. What a great guy. Also, yeah. Somebody's career that yeah. just exploded. The boy.
Yeah, he's not. I don't know what he's doing now. He hasn't done much. It's sad. We're passing the hat. We're going to take up a collection for Kripke after this.
And didn't he direct? He directed you in this in What Is and What Should Never Be. I'm told in my notes here.
An episode of the show, an episode of Supernatural, was directed by Kripke.
Yes, he did.
And how was that? How was he as a director?
He was terrible.
Yeah,
never work again.
Yeah, right.
It was just kind of
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Again, like it is just, and I know you guys know this, it's a rarity in Hollywood to be in this environment where like literally everybody is awesome. And
yeah,
that was kind of the Supernatural world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I will say like when I went up there, I want to say the second time or the third time I was on Friday Night Lights. And at that point, Jensen was just not really happy to be living in Canada. It was a little bit, I think there was a year there where it was a little like tense. But obviously they got over it and they bought a jet and, you know, whatever, their lives are okay.
Buying a plane sometimes. I find when I'm having a bad day, if I go buy a plane or a train, you know, or some massive form of travel, transportation. Yeah. I have a Rolex fight. You know, I know. And that's where you are. And so you guys are all, do you guys see each other at the fancy person gym or the fancy person grocery store?
I don't go to the fancy person. They put a Soho House in here. What the F, man?
Wow.
I was like,
that's Austin.
Way to keep Austin weird.
Wow.
That's how you know you've arrived. But like, look, I'm from Nashville and both those towns have had,
yes, explosions,
massive booms.
Well, and a lot, both towns have a lot of LA people moving there.
That is true.
Did you shoot Friday night there as well?
Yeah, that's how I fell in love with Austin.
Okay.
Yeah, we all just, I fully moved here during the show and then pretty much stayed and went back and forth. And about 8 years ago, I fully moved here.
Is anyone else from that show still there?
Connie has a place down the street from me. Kyle lives in Dripping Springs with his whole family.
Wow.
Dripping Springs is where Jensen's brewery is.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
That's another thing you do when you're kind of bummed. You start a brewery.
You know, why not? Big beer. Yeah. Also, what a great concept. You're like, I'm having a bad day. I'm just going to go to my bar. It's an excuse to go drink.
That's true. Dude. That's true.
It's the very reason why, even when I was young and doing starving artist jobs, the job I didn't want was bartender because I knew I would enjoy it just a skosh too much. I thought, daddy might bring his work home.
I will say one of my favorite jobs was a cocktail waitress for that reason.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
A lot of shots.
I'm sure you had a good time and probably did very well in the tip department would be my guess.
Yeah, well, that's why you get those jobs.
It's a high yield profession. Yeah. That's a gig for big personalities and handsome people. Here's a question about making the show, a technical question. So we talked to Jared about doing the pilot and he talks about running into a room that was actually on fire to get you out of the room. He's like, oh, I had to run. They just lit a room on fire and I ran into a room and like it wasn't CGI, you know, it was before all that. So burning the sequence of you burning on the roof, burning on the ceiling. Do you recall how they pulled that off? Like, how did they execute that sequence?
I was actually on fire.
I thought so, because you look different.
They actually put me on the ceiling. No, actually, I think that was actually Sam and my biggest bonding point, because, you know, as an actor, you have to do some really weird, embarrassing stuff.
Sure.
So we had to, like, weirdly lay on the floor in this very awkward position, and Nutter had to, like, specifically put us in this, like, really weird, like, almost like you're a mannequin, right? Position.
Right.
And then you had to just pretend that you were on fire. No reference. I mean, thank God. But, you know, you just go with that. And then they just placed a CGI on the ceiling.
That's hilarious.
So wait, so when they shot your body on the ceiling, you're actually on the ground.
On the floor.
Made to look like it's the ceiling.
Correct.
I'm so disappointed to find that out because I thought for sure they duct taped you to the ceiling.
You're so cool they did.
I know. Put a little effort into it, Nutter. I'm telling you, David, you cut corners like that, you're not going to work.
That's why he never works. Why he never works.
Exactly.
But do you remember anything actually being on fire? Because Jared really does talk about, like, they actually burnt. How, right, Rich? He talked about, like, they actually.
The bed, so, like, a room. I think I'm going, I got to remember the pilot now, but aren't you in a room where you're on fire? He has to go grab you and take run bedroom. You out?
Right.
Right. In the bedroom.
Yes. But I was actually there for that. I wasn't like in a room on fire because he didn't.
Right. You,
he didn't
yes, good.
Pull me out. I just kind of imploded on the ceiling.
Gotcha.
But he runs in there and that's the thing.
And they really lit it on fire for that.
That seems safe.
Right? I know.
That's one of those, nothing can go wrong here. I think the big miracle is that the hair product didn't go off. You know, you figure with that much Pantene, he was a human
His
torch.
Hairpiece.
Yeah. how the wax didn't burn as it rolled down his forehead. I don't know. He might have been making that up. It made for a good story, though. It seemed true at the time.
We're just going to go with that.
Yeah, I'm going to live with that. And the more you went back, so you had a bonding experience with the pilot, but then you go back, and the pilot is, the show is not the same crew. Like, you go back to meet a whole different group of people.
Because we shot in L.A. We shot the pilot in L.A.
Right.
Right. You go to Canada, and was it, I mean, you talk about what a lovely group of people it is, but that, I think you were referencing the pilot crew. Did you find the Canadian crew equally as accessible and friendly?
They're Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nicest humans on the planet.
Yeah.
No, everybody was super, super generous and super nice. And the guys were always very welcoming too, you know?
Yeah, I always feel like that was the secret sauce of the show. You know, the guys were always really cool and welcoming to guest stars because it was all about the guest stars because you got only two guys as the, you know, the series regulars. So,
well, and the fact that they're actually genuinely best friends, I mean,
yeah,
that really plays. Their chemistry is really amazing. And
yeah,
I think it's actually really adorable because that rarely happens.
Totally.
Like,
Oh, no, it usually becomes a giant pissing contest, you know? Like, it's crazy. It's great. And it's what I think enabled the show to stay on for 15 years. You can't have two guys. If your cast is two people, if those two people hate each other, that show ain't going 15 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely, as Rob said, the secret sauce of the whole thing.
Now, we've only watched through like the beginning of season four. So like, do you come on again in later seasons?
I think that was it. I think I did three episodes.
But you're such a big part of it. Like people, you talked about like,
oh, even you're referenced constantly.
In the final, like season 15, I think you referenced as well. Like, but what's been your experience? Like you've been on other shows that have been genre shows, like
huge shows, Orville, Agents of Shield. Right. Friday Night Lights.
Like, I know you've been to some conventions. Like, how do you feel like the Supernatural fans are unique?
It's amazing to me, the Supernatural fans. In fact, the last con I just did, people were really upset that I didn't have a Jessica headshot. I got that
so much.
I got that in Wonder Woman. They were like, where are those things? Like, but that was the one thing they really wanted was Supernatural.
Yeah, cool.
I mean, think about it, like, you know, we met at the Supernatural con.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
I know.
They have their own... Oh my God.
Yeah.
I know.
It's crazy.
All over the world, we do them. It's crazy.
We'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Thanks for listening. Now, back to the
episode.
Hey,
everybody. Thanks for listening. And now back to the episode.
I was trying to explain it to somebody who they're like, oh, you went to the convention. You do conventions. You see other actors there. I'm like, no, dude, I'm telling you, these are standalone. These are just Supernatural conventions for weekends, multiple weekends a year.
So fun.
Yeah. Do you find that there's some crossover? Obviously, you have big fan bases from other shows. John Wick, you have big fan bases from all over. Do you still find that those fans know the Jessica character, know the Jessica?
Oh, 1,000%. Because again, like you said, she's such a pivotal part of the story.
Yeah.
And I feel like it just goes into that comic book realm. You know what I mean? Which then a lot of stuff too. Right. So it's a very, there's such a huge fan base for Supernatural. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. 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 It's always a marvel to us. I can't even totally understand or comprehend it, but I'm thankful for it.
Can I tell you what really pisses me off?
What?
They didn't bring me back for the final.
So
it's effed up. Here's the but who's to say they weren't going to, because COVID ruined the finale.
I think they were going to, because I think their plan for the plan for the finale was they were going to bring everybody back, and there was going to be sort of in heaven, there was going to be sort of a party with all the sort of the characters that would be in heaven.
Yeah. Everybody who had died, but knew the guys right. And whatever was going
to
be up there.
And the night before I was in the second to last episode, and I didn't get on the plane because of COVID. And then everything shut down for like 5 months. And when we actually could do it again, they couldn't bring everybody up because, you know, you had to quarantine and do all that stuff, you know. So I think you would have been.
All right. That makes me feel better.
Yeah. I think you would have been too. I was not going to be in it. I was going to be standing off to the side, but I was still going to be there.
Same. Because Richard and I, we wouldn't have been in heaven, but we would have been.
Because we're angels and gods and whatever. But like the people were going to be there. It was going to be cool. There was a lot about that finale. I never read the script for it, but I heard a lot about it that obviously got just massively shelved because of global pandemic. What are you going to do?
We were told it was going to be the shot of all of you guys sort of in this roadhouse, and Sam and Dean are there. And then they kind of open, like break the fourth wall. And then the rest of us are there as well. And the crew, and then we kind of have a party, and they shoot the whole thing as sort of the credits rolled of us kind of toasting, and all that had to be thrown away because of COVID.
Just tossed. Good toast going away.
I know. I have a funny story I want to tell. You won't remember, but you guys were doing that convention in England, and it was like all the people that were at that convention were really good friends of mine that I'd gotten to know. Matt Cohen was there, Ruth Connell, Amy Gumenick was there, and you guys were all in a shuttle together, like going back to your hotel or whatever. And you were there, you had a friend there with you,
yes.
Like your girlfriend was there. And you were the only ones I didn't know, but everyone was telling me that I would love you because you made a great impression on everyone. And there was a text chain going, and I don't know if you were on it because I don't think we have each other's number, but there was this text chain and everybody was on it. And we're all, oh my God, we're on this thing and shuttle and Adrian Pilecki is here and everybody, oh yeah, we're having a great time. And I have such FOMO that I was really like jealous that I wasn't there. And so
Rob has turned FOMO into a full contact spectator.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like,
it's not yeah, just a mindset.
I'm the president of
like,
the
how
FOMO
many things are you left out of? But anyway, go on. Sorry.
Don't get me started. So anyway, as we're having this conversation, Rich, being the genius that he is, starts telling people to leave the chat. So you know how they say like, Matt Cohen has left the conversation. Uh-huh. Richard Spade has left the conversation. And they slowly all start dropping out of my conversation. In my mind, you were on it too, but I don't think that you were, just that you were in the shuttle. So they all just started dropping out of the conversation until it was finally just me and Amy Gumenick. And she was like too nice to do it. She was like, oh, Rob, I'm sorry. And then Amy left the conversation. So it was just me by myself. And I always, for some reason, I remember that so specifically. I remember that convention. I remember you were there, even though I had nothing to do with it. And it's mostly because Rich has scarred me with that.
I was going to say, Rich, that was your idea, right?
Oh, 100%. Sure, yeah. It was. 100%.
That's got Rich Bay written all over it.
But yeah, you were in England. You guys had a convention in England that...
We had fun. Really well. Fun.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, that was a good one. there's something else I was going to ask you. Shoot, Rob talking about the convention made me think about it. It'll come back to me. Here's a question, and I don't know. I know it's a long time ago that you worked on the show, and you've done so many things between then and now, but do you have anything, because whenever we reflect back on these experiences, especially for the point of doing a podcast, it's always like, they were all so great. Everything's so glorious. Do you remember, was there anything shitty? Was there anything like, we got torrential downpour that one night? Or anything you recall in your experience that was like, made it tough or made it interesting in a negative way at all?
I suck at, no, it wasn't. It was genuinely like the best experience ever. I had to wear those horrible shoes. That was pretty awful for me.
Okay, now we're having a conversation. Let's talk about the shoes.
The nurse's outfit. They put me in.
Oh, yeah, the nurse's outfit. I have a question about that. I have a pre-written question I didn't want to ask because I thought it was going to make me sound creepy. Which is, what did you think? Did you think it was silly you had to wear that sexy nurse outfit in the pilot?
Buddy, I got the same document. That question's not on here. I'm sorry. I think you're going off script.
You know, the really sad, funny thing. I was still working at the bar when I was doing that show because, again, I was like, infrequently working or whatever. And I swear to God, I wore that same outfit like that Halloween to work.
Nice.
So good tips. But
yeah, you know, I bet.
Like, I was like, really, guys? Okay, this is great. And then they put me in those shoes that actually made me as tall as Jared.
Wow.
Yeah, because you're not short to start with, and you put yourself in 5'11", heels.
5'11". So they put me in like 4 or 5 inch heels.
Wow. Crazy.
Was there a conversation on set about how similar your guys' last names are? Was that ever a thing? I think Padalecki and Pilecki.
You're getting a look.
No, I'm getting a look. But like, that to me is like, you guys with a super unique last names, you're playing a couple. And like,
Not on a show, but I think in general. And then I called Padalecki a lot.
I bet.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm not, yeah, you gave me the look, but I'm not wrong.
It's unbelievable how many people have confused our names.
It's funny.
In general, yeah. I thought we were a couple.
What does your name come from? Like, what part of the world? Polish? And I think Padalecki is as well.
Yeah, you think?
You almost
the subtle nuances of Poland in there.
You almost wonder if, like, you know, maybe your ancestors had a similar name and they just sort of like truncated it.
It's almost like if your last name had been Polly and your celebrity name was your Pilecki. Like, oh, she's dating Jared Pilecki. We're gonna combine them.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
This is good. This is good stuff. I tell you, the real price of admission here is seeing how annoyed she is.
You know what's funny about my name is I just did this movie called Quasi, and it was with the Broken Lizard guys, and I got on a Zoom with Heffernan and Lemmy, and the first thing out of Steve Lemmy's mouth is, "I'm impressed. How the hell did you make it in Hollywood with a name like Pilecki?"
Oh my god!
So genuine about it. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be fun.
Is that the one you guys just had a premiere for? So Paul Soder's an old friend of mine.
I love Paul so much. I love all.
Yeah, Paul's an old buddy of mine. My wife and I were supposed to come to that screening and had to miss it. But I'm excited to see that. I love those dudes.
You can watch it anytime.
Yeah? What's it?
Oh, it's officially out? Okay, good. I'll check it out.
What's it called?
That's awesome.
It's called Quasi.
Quasi, okay.
And they bring back the whole, like, you know, Monty Python-esque, you know.
Oh, great. Oh, awesome.
Those dudes are super funny. Beer Fest is one of my favorites. I love that movie.
I love that they keep doing it, too. They're still doing it.
Well, they had a really successful, when they were trying to make Super Troopers 2, it was right around the time you and I were doing Kings of Con. And they were doing an internet, you know, campaign through, I don't remember which crowdfunding site, but one of the Indiegogo or something, and had a massive success where they were able to make their sequel.
They were able to make the sequel.
Because
of
the funding.
Searchlight was like, okay, we can make this movie you've been wanting to make for the last 20 years. Here's all this stuff.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's so great. I mean, but I love the fact that there's crowdfunding, they wouldn't have been able to prove their audience. It was really cool for
them. Absolutely.
Good dudes. Well, that had to be a fun movie to work on. All those guys seem like they're fun.
I will say, you know, as an independent moment in my life, like Supernatural was one of my favorite jobs. I will say by far Friday Night Lights was, but this was probably like almost as great of an experience being on that set. It was
so awesome.
Fun all the time.
That's so great.
That's awesome. It's on Hulu right now. People can watch it. What is, where did you guys shoot this one?
We shot in LA.
Great. LA. Here's a great town. but for you, it's a location shoot. You're a Texan, you know, by proxy.
Exactly. Literally.
That's awesome.
Drive me to and from work. It was awesome.
Wow.
Oh yeah. In LA. Woo. Where did you stay in a fancy hotel? Yeah.
State of the Friends.
Ooh, that sounds nice. Sorry, I had my answer ready. I couldn't switch course that quickly. That's cool. I'm glad you got to work with those guys. Look, you have such a badass career. It's really cool. And you're just really good in everything. And that's just me being honest. Not even podcasty. You're just very good at what you do. So, you know, keep doing that thing. And thank you for being a part of this conversation.
Yeah,
I hope I answered any question. I don't know if I did at all, but.
The joy is having you on here to talk.
Thank you. I'm just bummed I didn't get to work with you guys on it.
I know. Well.
Yeah. Well, maybe. You would have had to drag your heels for a couple of seasons to get us. But on another thing in the future.
Yeah.
1,000%.
The reboot.
Right.
We'll all be like wheeling ourselves into the room. The
reboot. Why can't God walk?
Well, because I'm not God anymore.
Too good to walk.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Good to
walk. Thank you so much. Such a treat to have you here. So great to chat with you, as always. And I hope we get to see you in real life at a convention or at a cocktail
bar.
Yeah,
I hope we do a convention together or something.
I would love that. I'm actually going back to Birmingham for the first time since our retreat.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Hey there, this is Jared Padalecki, and I hope you're enjoying the episode. But we got to pull over for a second for some messages. Thank Thank you for supporting Supernatural then and now. And now, back to the show.
What a treat. She's a treat.
Adrienne's a badass. Let's just call it like it is.
When she said she was 5'11", I was like, oof, I'm little.
Yeah, well, yeah. She's just a badass, man. She's just a great actress. Does, like, again, I know I keep hammering this home, but she's so good in John Wick. All this fight stuff she does. Like, she's clearly very athletic. She's just really, really engaging on screen.
She is.
It turns out she's engaging on a microphone and a podcast.
Yeah. She's really tall. She's like a model.
Well, you're really stuck on that, aren't you?
Well, I don't know about you, Rich, but I'm just under 5'7". You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is a podcast. It's not a height-specific interaction.
I know. I'm better at in this format because you can't tell how short I am.
I wondered why you brought out a stepping stool halfway through the interview.
I know. I wanted her to think that I was tall. I'm already wearing heels because it's a Tuesday.
Like, I didn't know that. So this was our first spotlight, and we picked a doozy of a person to spotlight. She's so awesome. Check out all her work that you haven't seen, and watch Quasi, the new movie she did with Broken Lizard folks, the great comedy team. Thank you, Adrienne, for being with us and doing this for us. That was awesome. I can't wait to do more of these, Robbie.
I'm always excited about new things.
That's not true.
Did you say that's not true?
Yeah. You like the old ways. You're Johnny Stodgy.
That is not true. That's all you. You're Mr. Old Rust. Johnny Stodgy. You're like, I don't understand the kids with this texting.
Yeah, I don't understand texting, but I get spotlighting. You know what I mean? Spotlighting makes sense to me.
Remember when I had to explain what hashtag was to you?
And the first thing I used it to do was to text you back, hashtag you're an asshole. Because your tone was so dismissive.
This is exciting. I can't wait to do more of these.
And then in the meantime, we'll get back on a tour with our journey through season 4. And I'm looking forward to that. So more season 4 coming up, more spotlights in our future. This is awesome. Stay tuned. Robbie?
This episode of Supernatural Then and Now was hosted and executive produced by Richard Spate Jr. and Rob Benedict.
Produced by Stephen Hine, written by Stephen Hine and Haida Holscher.
And edited and associate produced by Trey Booty.
What is up, Booty?
Music provided by Tim Wynn.
The episode was recorded with the help of Sonic Fuel Studios.
This podcast is from Story Mill Media.
Follow the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at SPN Then and Now.
And become a member of the podcast at www.patreon.com/SPN Then and Now.
We hear you and we see you.
Hello. Yes.
Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome. It's a great idea to do this, especially right now, obviously.
Yeah. A little bit of a slow patch we're going through. might go on for a bit. You know what I'm saying? That's the word on the street.
We'll see.
What do you think? Okay. Two actors on this Zoom right now. Do you think the actors will strike?
I'm hoping it doesn't get to that point. I don't know about you. I haven't the last writer's strike that was so big. I mean, it was pretty obvious we're going to do it from the get-go. I haven't even heard rumblings.
No, me neither. There hasn't been any sort of conversation about strike authorization or anything. So I just, no. They send out a lot of pre-game stuff about we're going to go after this and that, and here's what we're going to do. But there hasn't been anything. There's no strike authorization vote there either. There hasn't, you always feel like going into negotiation, Writers Guild being a perfect example, they really went out. They went into that. No, we all knew they were going to strike, right? I mean, they went in with a strike authorization ready to go. And I kind of feel like everybody else, meaning SAG and DGA, are drafting them, writing their wake a little bit to see how much they get going.
I was going to say, I think that's going to determine what the DGA does might determine what we do as actors and how the writers strike ends up going. We're all asking for the same
Directors Guild? I feel like the WGA is going to be the pointy end of the bayonet because they started first.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I heard that the DGA is not asking for as much, so it might be an easier negotiation, but I don't really know.
Yeah, I think the DGA is going to nip it in the butt in a weird way. Because also, in a shitty world, writers and actors are weirdly expendable at this point, and directors are just not.
Yeah.
So, they're going to have a little bit more power.
Yeah.
It's also different issues they have, though, too, because if you think about it, the writer, the mini rooms and things that the writers are dealing with and getting replaced by AI, there's some things in there that are pretty, pretty big issues that don't. That's why I think I'm not sure the directors can fully carve a path here, because some of that stuff is not their battle to fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, what would help us if we all the unions kind of worked together? And
there's a weird I don't understand this, but there's a weird law or something where we can't all simultaneously strike. And
what?
I don't know why.
Really?
It's some sort of industry agreement or something. I promise you that all three unions can't simultaneously shut down at one time. I don't know if it's a union rule or that, union agreement.
That doesn't seem okay.
No, and I'm not sure. I don't know if it means we can't. So I'm going to get this wrong. I don't know if it means like right now the writers are striking. I don't think that stops the actors from striking when their contract comes up. And so then they're, but I think at the same, on the same time, the same day, they can't do, I don't know. It's some weird, they're not supposed to all do the same thing at the same time, which it sounds like, you know, 50 years ago, corporate America was fine. You're going to have your unions, but you can't talk to each other. Kind of weirdness. But
whatever. In the meantime, it frees all of us up to have this conversation.
This podcast.
Exactly.
Storymill Media. Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.